You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hello and welcome to your daily On The Money news and markets podcast for this Monday, the 9th of September. I'm Rena Bosch, filling in for Ricardo Gonçalves. The ASX 200 was down 0.3% today after clawing its way back from some deep losses at the start of the session. The index tracking the US, which took a hit on Friday after jobs numbers came in weaker than expected there, implying that the Fed had missed at least the first boat on interest rate cuts. The consumer sector was the day's worst performer as news broke that John Cheston, the managing director of Smiggle, had been sacked over alleged serious misconduct. The executive denied the allegations. He had already quit to defect to retail chain LaVisa next June. Banking major Westpac also lost ground after announcing business boss Anthony Miller as its next CEO. Current chief executive Peter King is set to retire on December 16th after nearly 5 years in the bank's top job. The stock is still up nearly 48% over the last year. For more on that market action, here's Raina Sarimpayat speaking with Capital.com senior market analyst Kyle Rodder.
Well, I mean, we did see a fairly significant drop at the open, and we've seen a fairly meaningful sell-off right across the Asian region. And again, there's these renewed concerns about the US growth outlook and potentially whether there's a recession around the corner. In saying that, at least compared to the reaction of last month's non-farm payrolls data, we certainly haven't seen the kind of meltdown across Asian markets then. Of course, the circumstances are slightly different. But, you know, the fact of the matter remains, there is still concerns about the global growth outlook, potentially because of a slower US economy. That's weakening equities right across the Asian region and, of course, weighed on the ASX 200 today as well.
So looking back on those job figures, I think it was 140,000 jobs created. What was expected was 160,000. I guess it's a kind of middling result, isn't it? It doesn't really suggest a soft landing, but not really a hard landing either.
No, and if you look at the data itself, as you said, 140,000, a little below expectation, but not terrible. In fact, it was above the number required to keep the unemployment rate effectively steady. And we did see the unemployment rate drop to 4.2%. I think what the market's latched onto, at least from a narrative perspective, was the downgrades in previous month's data. It comes off the back of a series of downgrades to previous month's release from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, as well as what was a couple of weeks ago as well, a very significant annual downgrade in the total number of jobs that the US economy had added up till about 12 months to that point, which was around 818,000. So on the face of it, the data doesn't look too bad, but if you look at the market reaction, very, very clear signals that there are recession fears, 50 basis point cut being priced into the markets for the Fed in September. You know, the US yield curve is disinverted, equities tumbling, oil prices at 2-year lows, all those signals suggesting that the markets are positioning for recession. So yes, the data wasn't too bad, but the market seemed to be reacting as in a way that suggests that maybe something nasty is around the corner.
So for next week's Fed Reserve outcome, is there now a greater chance or seen as a lesser chance of 50 basis points as opposed to 25?
Well, the market's now pricing in basically a 70% chance of a 50 basis point cut, and it's pretty much a binary event at the moment. They either go 25 or they go 50. And despite, again, the sort of figures suggesting that maybe there's a level of resilience there, again, an unemployment rate at 4.2% is far from horrible, in fact, historically low still, the markets have moved towards effectively pricing in what might be loosely termed a sort of a jumbo cut or even an emergency cut, because 50 basis point cuts typically only happen in times of financial market turmoil or when there's, a real shock to the real economy. So effectively now we've got the markets, again, pricing in that 50 basis point move. It's a 70% chance, at least on the implied probabilities. And the next 2 weeks will be just effectively the markets continuing to digest whether it is a 50 basis point move or whether, the market is jumping its shadows and it's only going to be a 25.
On the topic of volatility and Australian investors, whichever way it goes next week, do you think there will be a large response, more volatility?
Well, this is the interesting thing, is that on paper, a 50 basis point cut, at least up until a few months ago, probably would have been quite welcome because the focus was on inflation. Now the story is very much around what a 50 basis point cut would signal to the markets about the Fed's view on the economy going forward. And again, almost like the equivalent of sort of screaming fire in a crowded cinema. It's just sort of something you wouldn't necessarily do if you weren't legitimately concerned about the outlook, because you know that the action itself would cause panic amongst investors. So, really, until we get this Fed decision, there is going to be this high degree of nervousness. There's going to be very much data dependent, it has to be said as well. It will continue to rely on, say, what jobless claims comes out, US jobless claims says this week, and every other a bit of economic data that we can get from the United States to sort of confirm or deny this growth slowing narrative. It's going to keep things volatile as a result. I suspect if they go 50, it's because of a concern about the growth outlook. I think that will be responded to negatively by market participants. Conversely, if we get data that looks a little bit better, we start resting on this idea of a 25 basis point cut. That's indicative of a soft landing, and that might support and stabilize markets. But, really, it's a line ball at the moment. It's very data dependent.
Some other key economic data today from China, consumer prices rising less than expected last month. Was any of that a surprise?
Well, only surprising in the sense that it, wasn't as strong as expected. We thought that it might be a slightly bigger lift in consumer prices to about 0.7%, and a slightly less negative number, if you will, in the producer prices came in at 1.8% instead of 1.5% forecast. But what's not surprising is the fact that China's economy continues to disappoint and continues to show us this sort of trend of effectively anemic growth, and a reluctance, it would seem, from policymakers to really run counter-cyclical policy, probably for fairly rational and strategic and long-term reasons from the central government. But nevertheless, a reluctance to run any kind of policy to stimulate demand. So the message is clear. It remains an anemic economy, especially when it comes to the Chinese consumer. It did have an effect on markets today, still raising concerns about the global growth outlook because China isn't there to sort of fill that demand gap potentially from a slowing US economy. But this is a story that's been extending for a few years now. And as a result, despite the fact that the numbers were weaker than expected, it's well in line with the recent trends, disappointing recent trends.
Let's come back to corporate Australia now. We've got a few newsmakers, Westpac, a new CEO there, also Smiggle and Domino's in the news. What's most interested you today?
I mean, the Westpac story was fairly interesting, just on the basis that Peter King leaves now, and he was sort of seen as pretty much a pretty solid custodian of the business after a period of fairly significant turmoil, after obviously the AML scandal, as well as the Royal Commission. Not a big move in the market on the basis of that. I would say that the really interesting dynamic, though, was Premier Investments and just the disappointment in terms of the market reaction to those results, really speaking to once again the effectively slowdown or at least stagnation in retail activity, obviously globally, but specifically in Australia as well. Again, a little bit of a harbinger of weakness to come in perhaps in the Australian economy. Obviously, not necessarily surprising considering the recent data that we've got on retail sales as well as the GDP that households are doing it tough. So that Premier Investment story was probably the key macro one. But the big story broadly from a corporate, perhaps corporate governance point of view, was certainly that changing of the guard at Westpac. And effectively a continuity candidate from in the form of Anthony Miller to take the to take Westpac forward from here.
And finally, what opportunities do you see for investors going forward?
Well, I mean, sometimes the best approach is to sit to the sidelines for a little bit, and the next couple of weeks might be a good time just to kind of, keep the powder dry and watch what happens with the US data and what happens with the US Federal Reserve. If we do see signals that the Fed is, the US economy is heading towards the recession, you start looking at opportunities that, might be more in fixed income and safer assets, or perhaps in things like gold that benefit in recessionary environments. However, if we start to see, some data coming through that sort of assuages these concerns about the US growth slowdown, and, maybe the Fed goes 25 basis points as a result, that's going to be a really strong cue. Maybe once we get past the US election, because that's a volatility event as well, that the US is heading for a soft landing, you can reallocate into equity markets instead. But it's a bit of a wait and see environment. I think it's fairly rational just to wait it out for a few weeks until we get a little bit more information. But that's the kind of fork in the road that we're looking at, and how one might position depending on the I guess direction that that the economy is heading once we again have the data to tell us which way it's going.
That was Rena Sampayat speaking with Capital.com senior market analyst Kyle Rotter.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.